healing the whole of humanity. Within the mind of many individuals on this planet, there is a division in their perception of humanity. You could call it the them and us mentality. And it means that rather than perceiving every single person as an integral part of the same whole, the whole is split up into good and bad, and people desire freedom from the bad. People desire that the bad be destroyed, so that only goodness remains. But this perception is not truly accurate, as it is simply a product of the dualistic nature of the thinking mind, which is the origin of all division, conflict, and suffering. The idea of badness is created through our judgmental thought processes, and consequently it plays out in our lives as a foundational core belief of the nature of humankind. It is the age-old story of good versus evil, a battle between the light and the dark, in which every person decides for themselves which side they're on and who they must fight against. This is a divided reality, created by a divided mind, and thus conflict is born. The result of such a mindset is that humanity experiences itself at war with itself. But this is like one arm of your body trying to defeat the other arm of your body. It is like the so-called good cells of your body trying to defeat the bad cells. You simply have an organism which is in conflict with itself, and destruction is inevitable. You can see this conflict being played out within society itself, as the so-called bad people try to fulfill their selfish agendas, while those who believe themselves to be the good people try and stop them. Do you see? It is a conflict, a war that has been created within the very perception of humankind. All human beings are a part of the same living organism, which we call humanity. Yet we are not treating each other as such. We have turned each other into enemies through our judgment and dualistic perception of who is right and who is wrong, who is good and who is bad. But rather than fixing our minds upon ideas of good and bad, it would be far wiser and far more accurate to perceive things in terms of who is aligned to a state of peace and lovingness, and who needs help aligning to a state of peace and lovingness, which is our natural and harmonious way of being. Who is healthy, and who is suffering from a deep sickness? Because the capacity to hurt another human being is a clear symptom of a deeply unwell and dysfunctional individual. So how do we respond to those who are displaying such a capacity, and perhaps even enjoying inflicting suffering upon others, which many would term evil? Do we wage war against them? Do we try and beat them, battle with them, defeat them, and so on? Well, let's just ask one simple question. What actually solves the problem? Is it conflict and destruction? Or is it healing? Well, if we look at what the real problem is, we will find that it is the presence of aggressive, destructive, hateful, uncaring, and deeply selfish tendencies within humanity as a whole. Many of us will have witnessed such states arise at one point or another in our own life, if we have ever been involved in hostilities with another human being. It is not pleasant. But fortunately, there is something inside us that knows how deeply destructive such states are, and it moves us to correct our behavioural and emotional trajectory towards more positive states of being, ensuring that conflict does not turn into destruction. If we respond to the presence of destructive tendencies within other human individuals and groups with an equal force of aggression and hostility, we are actually compounding the problem. We are adding to it rather than solving it. We all know that it is water that puts out the fire, not more fire. So if anger, hostility, cruelty and selfishness are the problem, then the solution is peace, compassion, forgiveness, and selflessness. Selflessness is the key word here. If we are only preoccupied with our own well-being and our own security, then we overlook our powerful capacity to initiate healing in those who most need it, by extending peace, compassion, understanding and forgiveness to all beings, irrespective of their state of consciousness and their actions in this world. We can do this simply within our own state of consciousness, through our determination to fully understand others and to harbour compassion towards them, rather than judgment and hostility. The traditional mindset that hostile behaviour deserves further hostility, and that aggression deserves an equal or greater force of aggression, is one of the root causes of the human malady. Not only has this been played out within countless societies and civilizations over the ages, but it also manifests within the human body itself. Our attitude towards diseases like cancer is a perfect example. Cancerous cells are simply normal, intelligent cells which have altered their function so that rather than consuming oxygen, like all healthy cells do, and serving the greater good of the body as a whole organism, they have changed their food because cancerous cells feed on the fermentation of sugar rather than oxygen. And they are only interested in consuming more and more energy, even at the cost of all the healthy cells around them. It is a bit like the difference between the life-giving properties of the sun and the energy-consuming properties of a black hole. A healthy cell radiates energy and life, whereas a cancerous cell consumes it. So the really vital question is, can a cancerous cell, which has switched into energy consumption and destruction mode, be switched back into life-giving mode? Can it become healthy again? Can it be healed? The answer is a resounding yes, it can. That cell simply needs its food supply to be switched back to oxygen. That is all it needs, because its primary biological drive is to continue to exist. Therefore, like all intelligent life forms, it will adapt to the environment in which it finds itself and consume the food which it finds in abundance. That is exactly how the cell became cancerous in the first place. There was a lack of oxygen in that particular part of the body, which is a consequence of many factors, including nutrition, breathing, exercise, circulation, deep emotional tensions, and so on. And instead of oxygen, there was an abundance of sugar available for fermentation due to the prevalence of sugar in a modern diet. Therefore, the cell simply adapted to the food that was more readily available. It did this only so it could continue to exist, as its intended food supply, oxygen, was not available in sufficient quantities. So you can see that the cancer cells are not bad, and they need not be destroyed or fought against. They need to be healed. If they have changed once from healthy to cancerous, then they will certainly change back again if their food supply is changed once more. There is an endless amount of proof that demonstrates that this occurs when the inner environment of a cancerous cell is restored back to an oxygen-giving one rather than an oxygen-deficient one. Our choice to heal instead of destroy comes down to our mentality. If we perceive a threat, such as cancer, present in our life, then we have a choice how we address it, with an attitude of destruction or with one of healing. And don't be fooled into thinking that destruction is healing, because they couldn't be more different from one another. An attitude of healing does not seek to destroy or annihilate in any way. Its agenda is solely restoration. In truth, when you consider how healthy cells become cancerous through oxygen deficiency, it is more of a wake-up call rather than a threat that must be destroyed. It is simply our body telling us that we need to change our way of life. We need to restore ourselves to full and radiant health. We need to learn to be more loving, more conscious of nourishing ourselves in all the best ways possible, rather than settling for mediocrity in terms of lifestyle, health, and consciousness. So what about humanity as a whole? How can we relate this understanding of cancerous cells to what is currently happening on our planet? Well, there is conflict, that this is plain to see. There are wars being waged. There are many power-hungry individuals thinking only of themselves and how they can obtain more power and more money, irrespective of the effect on the rest of the human population. Such individuals and groups of individuals are very much like cancer cells. They have forgotten or have been denied their true nourishment and their true source of security, which is love. And this has been replaced by an intense drive to find fulfillment and security through the pursuit of money and power. This is their alternative food, just like the cancerous cell gets its energy from the fermentation of sugar. It is a substitute, and one which the cells adapt their nature to. Greed and power create intense cravings, just like in the cancerous cells, which when satisfied temporarily, satiate the individual and give the illusion of nourishment. But the highly addictive and temporary nature of such sources of nourishment, just like sugar, drives the individual on and on in the pursuit of more and more, as they desperately seek a lasting satisfaction which will never be found. It is a deeply addictive and self-destructive path. Power over others cannot be underestimated in its ability to corrupt even the most well-intentioned individual, if the security of warmth and love is not present in their lives. Power is nothing more than a substitute, the closest thing that a starving individual can find to spiritual food when they do not know where to look for it. Human beings need the warmth and security of love flowing through their veins. Without it, reality is very bleak and very insecure indeed. And because we are designed, just like the smallest cell, to adapt to our surroundings in order to survive, if love is not present, we will look for a substitute. If we are surrounded by people who, in order to feel secure and important, are playing power games, manipulating each other, trying to come out on top, to be in control, essentially, so they can avoid a feeling of powerlessness and insecurity, then we will simply learn this way of creating the sense of security and the feeling of self-worth that we need. It is inevitable. Therefore, in this way, human beings are very much a product of their environment. Adults who grew up in a very loving, caring, and secure family environment are unlikely to be corrupted by power because they know how deeply fulfilling and important love is. They know what it feels like, so they never stray far away from it because they know how essential it is to their life. They know that there is no substitute for love. Therefore, they are very unlikely to be tempted into sacrificing their core values for the desire for money or power over others. Such desires simply will not arise in a human being who has love in their heart. They only arise in people who are lacking love and security and don't know how to experience them. So out of desperation for a lasting sense of security, they choose that great security provider which the material world offers in abundance, money. Money seems like the perfect solution to address all our human insecurities. With money comes a greater ability to control our material circumstances and thus feel more secure. Highly insecure individuals also use money to control and influence the people around them, as they discover that not only does money bring security, but it also brings a feeling of power. The power which enables people to totally control and influence their external environment, including the people within it, is one of the most highly addictive drugs on the planet for someone who has no inner sense of security. It seemingly gives them the ability to create all the pleasure they could ask for, while simultaneously avoiding the deep pain which exists in their heart, where the yawning gap of love's absence is virtually impossible for them to ignore. So as you can see, underneath the desire for money and power lies a deep insecurity and fear. Inside the adult is a scared child who has learnt the rules of a complicated and corruptive adult game just so that they can feel secure and worthy of praise from their peers. Power-hungry individuals are among the most afraid and most addictive people on the planet. And it is very important to understand this so that rather than allowing anger and hatred to arise in response to their destructive and heartless actions, we can have compassion for them instead. It is a challenge, but we must do this. We must extend love and forgiveness towards them, because this is what they are in dire need of. By doing this, we allow the possibility of their healing, and all corrupt cells of the human organism must be healed. If they choose to destroy themselves, it is their free will to do so, but it is not our place to destroy them. It is our purpose to allow the possibility of complete healing. And this can only occur through firstly understanding what is at the root of their destructive behavior. When we fully understand, we will only want to offer them the possibility of freedom from their inner prison and from their pain, through compassionately extending forgiveness and healing towards them. If we find it difficult to do this, and instead we continue to feel hostile and angry towards them, wishing suffering and destruction upon them, this is a clear sign that our own healing is not complete. We ourselves must be fully restored, like the cancer cell, back to our natural, loving and life-giving state, a state where hostile or aggressive tendencies no longer exist, because they were only part of the human sickness, part of the dysfunction. When we are restored to our naturally loving nature, we desire only healing, and we know with total certainty that love is fully capable of achieving this. This is our purpose now on this planet, to heal the division within our own species by being an agent of unconditional love, extended to all beings in need of healing, of which there are many. Love has the power to do this, and its success is guaranteed. All that we have to do is align ourselves with its all-forgiving and compassionate nature, and then we become part of the solution. Thank you.